Well, it is good to have each one of you here in our service this morning. We welcome you, and I treasure the presence of the Lord that we have sensed as we have worshiped and praised. And we just want to welcome everybody. I'm going to get into the Word this morning. If you have your Bible and you would like to share the reading of God's Word, I'm going to ask you to turn over to a very familiar passage of Scripture, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 1. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. Paul is the author or the writer of the book of 1 Corinthians. I should say writer. The Holy Spirit was the author. Hello? So Paul is the writer. He's writing to the church in Corinth. And I want you to pay just really close attention to what he says. He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I have not charity," or "I have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Could get annoying after a while, right? He says that, "Even though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I don't have love, if I don't have charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could move mountains." That's some powerful stuff. He said, "If I had all of that ability and I did not have charity," listen to what he says, "I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I gave myself as a sacrifice and I have not charity, it profits me nothing." Then he goes on in verse 4 and he begins to describe what love looks like, how love behaves itself. He says, "Love is patient. Love is kind." I'm reading the God's Word translation. "Love isn't jealous. It doesn't sing its own praise. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. Love doesn't think about itself. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep track of wrongs. Love doesn't play the scorekeeper game. It isn't rude. It doesn't think of itself. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep track of wrongs." It says, he said, "But it is happy when it isn't happy when injustice is done, but it is happy with the truth. Love never stops being patient. Love never stops believing. Love never stops hoping. And love never gets up, never gives up." And then in verse 8, and this is from the American Standard Version, it says, "And love never fails." Love never fails. Drop down to verse 13 in that 13th chapter. "So these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning, ask that you bow your heads, and let's pray together and ask the Lord for his help. Heavenly Father, I love you. I love you with a whole heart, Jesus. We come to the reading of your word this morning, and I would ask that you would give me divine ability. Ability that I do not possess in myself. I ask for your anointing to rest upon me. I pray that you would inspire what I speak. Let what is spoken come forth under the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit. And let it fall upon hearts that are equally touched of the Holy Spirit of God to hear what the Spirit would say to the church this morning. Give us understanding. Allow the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. Challenge us, encourage us, and edify us. Let Jesus Christ be glorified. Let the people of God be edified. Bless me to be a blessing. And I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. I want to title my message this morning, Love Matters. Love Matters. The last few weeks, we have been sharing a series of messages that the Holy Spirit has placed upon my heart about certain things that matter. Several Sundays ago, the first message in the series was entitled Endurance Matters. And we learned that we have to have some endurance. And we discovered that the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we talked about the need of having some fortitude and the need of having some tenacity. Because we are all going to face at certain times some things in our life that's going to challenge us, and we just simply need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and have some fortitude and some stickability and keep walking forward. Because I promise you there are going to be some moments in your life when you feel like giving up. And rather than giving up, we need to have some endurance. And then we looked at a message that we titled Vision Matters. And we discovered that without a vision, people perish. Or without a vision, people cast off restraint. Without a vision, where there is no goal or where there is no purpose, people cast off restraint. There is no self-control. So we looked at vision, and having not just vision is not just sight. Sight is a function of the eyes, and vision is a function of the heart. Can you say amen? Amen. And then last week, we looked at the fact that unity matters, and we found out and we discovered in the scripture that we are to do everything that is in our power to keep the unity of the Spirit. We are all to be, amen, striving to walk in one mind and in one accord and abiding in the same purpose and striving and working together and not against each other. We need to have unity, and we learned that unity matters. This morning, I would like to share with you the necessity about us walking in a spirit of love. Walking in an attitude or a spirit of love. And from the verses that we have read this morning, you may think that we are going to talk about marital love. Or we're going to talk, because often these verses are read in a wedding ceremony. How many have ever gone to a wedding and they read 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Right? I wouldn't have any, you know, contrary notion against that. It's perfectly fitting for that setting. But let me just tell you this morning that Paul was talking about something far greater than our marital love. He was talking about something far greater than a romantic or a sensual kind of love, or a kind of love that, you know, you are swept off of your feet and you got your head in the clouds and you are just hopelessly, helplessly head over heels in love. He's talking about something even more wonderful than that. He's talking about our need to walk in agape love. He's talking about our need to walk in agape love. Paul is actually telling us that the greatest and the most powerful gift that can be given and the most essential spiritual gift that can be given to us is the gift of God's love. He's talking about walking and the gift of love that's been made available to us. He's talking about having a spirit of love down on the inside of us. And so when I begin to search the scriptures and begin to ask the Lord how he would have me to bring out this message this morning, I want to share with you just about four things that the Bible says about love. And while there are many things, these are the four things that the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart. Number one, his love, this is what the Bible says about God's love. His love was placed in our heart when we were saved by his grace. Now understand that. His love was placed within us when we were saved by grace. Where does the Bible say that, Pastor Gary? If you look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5, this is what it says. It says that hope maketh not ashamed. And here's why. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So understand this morning that the scripture is saying that the moment that we received Christ into our life, that his love moved into our heart. His love was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. What kind of love was given to us? What kind of love was given to us? The kind of love that sent Jesus to the cross. The kind of love that allowed the Savior of this world to go to the cross for your sins and for my sin. That kind of love. The kind of love that the Bible talks about in John 3:16, where it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That kind of love. The kind of love that sent Jesus into the world. That kind of love came into us when we were saved. How many of you remember when you first gave your heart to Christ? When you gave your heart to Christ, you just had a love for everybody, right? You go, "Well, it didn't matter if people did me wrong. That's all right. I just love them anyway. I just feel abundant love." Well, just guess what? That wasn't supposed to go anywhere. Hello? That wasn't supposed to leave. I will tell you right now, when I got saved, I got saved, and I got saved all the way. And when I got up from being saved and repenting and washed in the blood of the Lamb, I got up and I absolutely loved everybody. Why? Because his love had now permeated my spirit. His love had been placed in my heart, and it made me love everybody. It made me just love everybody. So this morning, the first thing that I want you to understand is that when we came to Christ, we're not talking about a love that we can generate within ourselves, but we are talking about a fruit of the Spirit. And when you are connected to the vine, it is easy to flow and operate in love. You don't have to force it. It just happens. Our problem oftentimes when we're not operating in love is we have been severed from the vine. Get connected to the vine, beloved, and fruit will automatically come. And beloved, love is a fruit of the Spirit. And when we are walking in the Spirit and when we have yielded our lives to the Spirit, love comes automatically to us. And we are to be walking in the love of God. So the first thing that we need to understand is that His love is shed abroad in our hearts and given to us by the Holy Spirit. The second thing that the Holy Ghost impressed upon me is that His love working in our hearts and displayed one to another is one of our greatest testimonies to the world that Christ is in us and we are His disciple. One of the greatest testimonies that we belong to Him is if we are living and operating in love. Pastor Gary, where does it say that? Look at John chapter 13 and verse number 35. John chapter 13 and verse number 35. And this is what the Bible says. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And you have heard me say this before. It does not say that if you speak with tongues and know how to do the Holy Ghost two-step, if you know how to dance in the Spirit. No, it doesn't say that. It's a little more difficult than that. He's not talking about just speaking with tongues. Amen. He said, if you have love one for another, it will testify that you are my disciple. Down through the years, I have met individuals and, you know, I have seen individuals that, you know, want to put on the air that they are absolutely, you know, holy and they are walking right with God. And I will just tell you something, their fruit betrays them because they have no love in their heart. You hear what I'm saying? You can just look at the life of someone, and if they are walking in a spirit and in an attitude of love, then you know they belong to God. Because that is the telltale sign. If we have a relationship with Christ, Jesus said, by this one item, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Because if we have love, we'll treat each other right. If we have love, we won't be selfish. Hello? We won't just be thinking of ourselves, but if we have love one to another, amen, what he is saying that you will know and individuals will know that you are a child of God if you are walking in a spirit and an attitude of love. I came to tell somebody this morning that love matters. Yes, endurance matters. And yes, vision matters. And yes, we need to have a unified spirit. But I want to tell you that spirit needs to be a spirit of love. Love, because love matters. The third thing that the Bible says, when we walk in love for one another, we are walking in obedience. If we are not walking in obedience, then we are, amen, we are walking in disobedience, and disobedience is sin. Now, this is where the Bible says when we walk in love, we're walking in obedience unto the Lord. John 13 and verse number 34, this is what it says. Jesus said, a new commandment give I unto you. A new commandment. How many of you know commandment is not optional? Commandment is not optional. A new commandment I give unto you. What is it, Jesus? This is hard. This is tough. My commandment, he says, is that you love one another as I have loved you. Let me just ask you a question. You know, you can look straight ahead. You don't have to elbow anybody. You just look right straight ahead. But how many of you are loving those around you the way Jesus loves you? Amen? Well, okay. I will love them. I just won't talk to them. Is that real love? Hello? Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to love as I have loved you. A new commandment I have given unto you, that you love one another. And as I have loved you, then you love one another. It is not an option. He says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 8, freely we have received, and now we are going to be required to freely give. I came to tell you this morning that we need to be walking and operating from a spirit of love. And if we are not walking in love and we are being disobedient to the commandment of the Lord, then we are walking in disobedience and we are walking in death. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22, the Bible said, see that you love one another with a pure and fervent heart. I'm telling you right now, all throughout the Word of God, we are told that we are to love each other. We are to love one another. And again, let me point out to you this morning that it is not optional. So how can we love one another? How can we love one another from a fervent heart? How can we love one another and obey the commandment of God? It's not our love, it's His love inside of us. It's not our love, but it's His love inside of us. The Word of God declares, number four, that the thing that the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart. The Word of God declares that when we walk in love for one another, our love becomes living proof. Our love becomes living proof that we are saved by His grace. And somebody said, where does it say that? Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 14. And this is what the scripture says. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we have passed from death unto light. We know that we have passed from darkness unto light and from sin to salvation. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How will we know it? Because we love the brethren. What John is saying is if we are operating in love, it is proof that we have been changed on the inside. He's saying that if we, amen, are loving and we are walking in a spirit of love and we are walking in an attitude of love, it is proof. It is proof that we have been transformed and we have been changed. Amen. He said, he that loves not his brother is abiding in death. Now, maybe you know what the Bible said. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. So what John is saying is if we have not been walking in an attitude of love and we are not walking in a spirit of love, then we are abiding in death and we are abiding in sin. I want you to understand this morning that when we are loving one another and we are living in an attitude of love, it is a proof in our life that we have been changed by the power of God. Amen. I would just tell you today, beloved, we need to have love because love matters. Love proves that Christ has moved into our hearts. Love proves that we have become a following disciple of Jesus Christ. And love is a sign of the fact that we have been changed by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. When we are walking in love, when we have become filled with the love of God and we become filled with the presence of the Lord's love in our life, we become a living testimony. that we are his child, that we've been transformed by the power of his grace, and we become living proof that we are walking in obedience because we are keeping his commandments and we are loving one another. Now here's where Paul begins to tell us how excellent and marvelous this spirit of love is. He tells us that it is more powerful than spiritual giftings. It's more essential. Let me just give you some historical background this morning. From the text that we've read, in chapter 12, Paul begins to talk to the Corinthian church about spiritual gifts. He begins to share with them about the spiritual gifts that are available through the Holy Spirit. He shares with them that there are 9 gifts. And the reason that Paul is talking to them, he's trying to tell them to, yes, operate in the gifts of the Spirit and operate in the gifts of the Lord and desire to have the spiritual gifts, but don't let there be confusion. Amen. From chapter 12 to chapter 14, he's saying, don't let there be confusion. God is not the author of confusion, and let everything be done in decency and in order. But he shares with them, first of all, the 9 spiritual gifts. If you want to turn to chapter 12, I invite you to turn there. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. And this is what Paul says concerning the gifts of the Spirit. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. He said, for one is given by the Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to yet another, the interpreting of tongues. He's sharing with them that there are these 9 powerful spiritual gifts that are given to us to edify the church and to glorify Christ. All of these gifts of the Spirit are given to the church for one purpose, and that purpose is to edify the body and glorify the Lord. I can look back over 30 years of ministry this morning, and I can say, and I say it with all humility, because the Lord didn't have to allow me to operate in that gift or in those gifts. But I say it with all humility, over 30 years of ministry, and I've seen all of those beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit operate at some time or another in my life. There have been times that I have laid hands on those that were sick with cancer, and they were healed. There were times that I laid hands on individuals that had heart disease, and God supernaturally and wonderfully healed them. There were times I prayed for a lady one time that had a goiter on the side of her neck about the size of a plum, and it literally just disappeared right in front of my eyes. There have been times that God used me in prophetic. I can remember times when the Lord would have me speak something, and when it came out of my mouth, I'm like, oh my God. I was holding a revival in Salem, Oregon one time, and there was a young couple. I started a revival on Sunday night. And so we showed up on Sunday night. We began the revival, and after I preached that evening, there was a young couple that was on the right-hand side of the church about halfway back. I can still see it in my mind. They were a young, beautiful couple standing there, and the Lord led me back to them so that he would have me pray for them. I walked up to them. I had no idea. I had no idea who they were. I'd never seen them before. I had no idea who they were, and I had no idea what they were praying about. I walk up to them and I take a hold of their hands and I begin to pray with them. And all of a sudden, the words that came out of my mouth was, go home and pack your bags. You are moving. And I'm like, what? And everybody in the church reacted, and it was a good reaction. They're like, hey, praise God. What I did not know, but what I found out later, was that they were a man and wife, and they were going into the ministry, and they had been praying that God would allow them to have a church so that they could pastor and operate in that function or in that capacity. And what I did not know was that very Sunday morning, amen, before that evening service, they were in Grants Pass, Oregon, trying out for a church. And God said to them, go home, pack your bags, you are moving. And I will tell you right now, they became the next pastors of the Grants Pass Church. Amen. That's powerful. It wasn't me. It's the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul says, to one is given a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge. There have been times that I just had a simple, one word came into my mind, came into my spirit, and it opened up a whole avenue of understanding. I can tell you right now that the gifts of the Spirit are absolutely real, and God desires for us to operate in them even today. Hallelujah. Powerful gifts of miracles. I won't go into a great deal length of testimony, but my wife and I, over the years of our ministry, we have seen three individuals literally raised from the dead. That's mind-boggling. I could stand here all morning and just share with you the things that God has done by the gifts of the Spirit of God. And understand, you know, God didn't have to use me in that capacity, but he chose to use me in that capacity. I am forever grateful, and I don't always walk with a power, you know, to raise up the dead. No, it was just a supernatural gifting of the Holy Spirit at a moment and at a time when God wanted to do something. You hear what I'm talking about? These gifts are absolutely real, and they are absolutely for today, but they're are times when we don't operate in the gifts like maybe we would desire to. And Paul says, I want to show you something that is just as powerful as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to show you something. Look at the end of verse, or the end of chapter 12. Look at the last verse of the end of chapter 12. Now understand, in chapter 12, he says to one is given the spirit of wisdom, to one a word of knowledge, to one the working of miracles, to another faith, and to another the gifts of healing. And he talks about all of these wonderful, powerful Holy Spirit gifts. And then he says in the very last verse of chapter 12, and yet, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. It's all right to covet the gifts. It's all right to be wanting to be used in those gifts and in that capacity. Nothing wrong with it. It brings glory to God. It edifies the church. It edifies the church. But listen to what he says. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now understand what he's saying. He's saying there are powerful gifts. There are vocal gifts, gifts of tongues, gifts of interpreting tongues, gift of miracles, gifts of healing, and all of these wonderful, powerful gifts that are given to everyone severally as the Holy Spirit wills. Amen. To one is given this, and to one is given that, and all together they bless and they glorify God and they edify the church. And Paul said, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What he's saying is, I want to show you something that is even greater, something better. I want to show you something that is even more powerful than the gifts of the Spirit. read it this way, you're coveting the best gifts, but I want to show you something even better. Paul is saying, I know you desire to be used in the gifts of the Spirit so that everyone can be edified and God can be glorified. But I want to show you something that will edify the church and glorify God even in a more excellent way than the gifts of the Spirit. And then he launches into our text about love. Why? Because love is even a greater expression of God's power and God's grace than the gifts of the Spirit. He says in chapter 13, he begins to unravel to them something more profound and something more powerful. And he says to them that there is something even more needful than your tongues. There is something more powerful than your gifts of healing. There is something even greater than your gifts of miracles. And he says, I want you to understand that it is love that matters the most. It is love that matters the most. What matters most this morning is not whether we possess some flashy vocal gift. What matters most is not how wonderful or intellectual or filled with wisdom that we are. What matters most is not how wealthy or how popular, but what matters most in our life is how well do we love. What testifies of God's grace and God's power the most in our life is how well do we love. And when we learn to love like Jesus loves us, and we learn to love like he loves, then we understand that love matters. The text that we read this morning is awesome. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and if I do not have love, I am nothing. If I'm not operating from a basis of love, if I'm not operating in a spirit of love, he said, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm become as if I don't have love. I may give messages in tongues. I may speak with tongues of men and angels. But if I don't have love, I am just noise in the air. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have the faith so that I can move mountains, if I do not have love, I am nothing. If I don't have love, then I amount to nothing. Now, let me just share with you this morning. You can have endurance and you can have vision and you can even strive to keep the unity of the Spirit. But if you don't have love, you are nothing. We are nothing. We must operate in a spirit of love. Paul says, amen, he said, though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I do not have charity, it profits me nothing. It profits me nothing. Because love is a more excellent way. The whole idea this morning is that love is distinct from and love is superior to anything that we can be or anything that we can do, regardless of what we do and regardless of what gifts we may possess or what we may be infused with. If we are not infused with love, then it is a colossal waste of time. Your greatest testimony that you are a disciple of Christ is the love that you walk in. Your greatest witness to those that are around you is the love that you share with others. Amen. I'm not talking about, you know, superficial love. I'm talking about a God kind of love. A love that's down on the inside that flows into your spirit by way of the Holy Ghost and flows out of your life that causes you to love others. That causes you to love others. You may be a great speaker. You may be a great orator. You may be a great ministry or whatever. But it doesn't matter how right on your rhetoric is. It doesn't matter how wonderfully gifted you are. But what really, really matters is what kind of love are you delivering it in? What kind of love are you sharing with others? If you are not sharing in a spirit of love, then you are nothing more than a crashing cymbal and a clanging cymbal, amen, and just noise in the air. We may possess great faith, and we may have spectacular abilities to see the gifts of miracles operating in our life, but what truly matters is what kind of love are we walking in? The case that I'm making this morning is that our gifts and our talents and our abilities become a colossal waste of time if we are not walking in love. We must walk in love. And then Paul goes on to tell us what love looks like, how love behaves. Somebody reads through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and says, these are the things that love are. What Paul is really saying is this is how love acts. This is how love behaves itself. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't jealous. It doesn't sing its own praise. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't think about itself. It isn't irritable. I need to remind myself when I'm driving Highway 16 that love is not irritable. Hello? My wife is shaking her head going, yes, Jesus. She's always telling me, why don't you just relax and enjoy your time with me? And I'm like, baby, I am loving my time with you. And if they would get out of the way, it would be a wonderful day. Love isn't rude. Love doesn't think of itself. It isn't irritable. Doesn't keep track of wrongdoings. Let's break that all down just for a moment. He says, first of all, that love is patient. The word patient literally means to be patient, to have patient endurance under provocation. To have patient endurance under provocation. Can I just ask you this morning, what spills out when your cup gets bumped? Is it love? When somebody pushes your buttons the wrong way, are you just oozing with love? Hello? Help us, Jesus. He said, love is patient. Love, what he's saying is love is willing to take one on the cheek and go, that's all right. Here, you can have the other one. It's okay. I'm going to keep a right attitude. You may have done me wrong. You may have done me a bad way. It's all right. I'm just going to keep a sweet spirit. I'm going to keep a right attitude, and I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm not going to keep track of it. I'm not going to let it get down in my heart and cause me to get bitter and cause me to try to want to retaliate. I'm just going to let it go, and I'm just going to go ahead and remain sweet about it. I'm going to go ahead and just keep a right attitude and just keep right on loving people. Well, I promise you the only way you can do that is through the love of God. Because I've had folks and people that have pushed my buttons the wrong way, and there was a side of Gary that wanted to get in their face. Hello? Mm-hmm. There was a side of Gary that went, bless God, you want to mess with me? I will show you how it goes, buddy. And then there was another side of me that said, take it easy, son. Just take it easy. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You keep your mouth shut and just keep walking. Hello? Hello? He said, love is patient. Love is willing to endure, even under pressure. Love is kind. What that word means, love is kind, it means that there is an active goodness that goes forth on the behalf of others. Genuine love is never hateful, and it's never disrespectful, and it reaches out to those who are down. How many of you know that if you are down, that the world will try to put their foot on your neck and grind you on into the carpet? But love says, let me help you up. And let me encourage you, and let me show you that there is a better way. Love is actively seeking a goodness for others. Love does not envy. Love is not jealous. Love is not jealous over what others have. Love is not jealous over the successes of others. Love is not jealous over the possessions of others. Instead of being jealous when we are walking in love and others begin to prosper around us, and instead of being envious, we are happy for them, and we genuinely applaud their success. We want to become their cheerleader and say, good for you. Thank God. Thank God that he's blessing your life. That's what love, amen, does in our hearts. It causes us not to be envious or jealous, but it causes us to want to see others blessed by God. Love does not sing its own praise. Love isn't a braggart. Literally, the phrase means love does not make itself a parade. It doesn't, what it's saying is love doesn't have to have the attention. Love doesn't have to have the attention. It doesn't need to be the center of attention. Love can be yielded and given forth even though it is not the center of attention. Love is not puffed up. It's not arrogant. It's not proud. No matter how great our talents and no matter how spectacular our giftings and on you could go. Amen. Love realizes that we do not have anything that he didn't give to us. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Love is not puffed up. Love is not arrogant. Love recognizes that all blessings come from the Lord. The Bible said that he opens his hand and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. Paul goes on to say in verse 5 that love does not behave itself unseemingly. In other words, love has compassion. Love has consideration. Love is able to control its emotions. Love does not seek its own. Love is not selfish and self-centered, but it is actively seeking the profitability of others. It's never looking after oneself first, but it is considerate of the feelings and the needs of others around them. He said, love is not easily provoked. Oh God, help us learn that one. Love is not easily provoked. When somebody does us wrong, we automatically, our flesh wants to keep score. And we want to you know, keep the game going. Well, they got one on me, but just wait until they see what I do to them. Right? Love is not easily provoked. It doesn't keep track of wrongs. It lets it go. Willing to endure slights and injuries. Love thinks no evil. Love does not dwell on what others may have done. He says, love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And then he says in verse 7 that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Why? Because love believes that good will overcome. Love trusts that God has it under control. Love hopes and expects a good outcome. Love is an eternal optimist. Love refuses to give up. Love stands its ground and continues in spite of everything that is thrown its way. Love bears the unbearable, and love believes the impossible, and love hangs on to the incredible. And when tongues cease, and where there is no word of wisdom, and where there is no gifts of miracles, or where there are no gifts of healing, he said, this one thing remains, love. Amen. Love remains, and love is a more excellent way. Love never fails. And I asked myself when I began to feel the Lord leading me in this direction, what is it that love never fails at? And the answer to that question is that love never fails to give glory to God and edify the church. The same thing that the gifts are given for. They are given to edify the church and to glorify God. And love never fails to give glory to God. And love never fails to edify the other believer around you. Love matters this morning. Love matters this morning. Love is a more excellent way. Paul says, covet the gifts. Yes, covet to operate in gifts of tongues. Covet to operate in gifts of miracles and healing and all of these wonderful divine Holy Spirit. But let me show you a more excellent way. Let me show you something else that will give glory to God and edify the church. Let me share with you that love matters. When the Bible got ready to define the very character of God, this is what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Of all the things that the Bible talks about who God is and what God is, he's holy and just and all of these beautiful things. But when the Bible got ready to describe God in one sentence, this is what John said. God is love. And if we want to be like our Father, then we must operate in a spirit of love. We must operate in a spirit of love. So just for a moment this morning, I ask that you just take away, remove, if you will, all of the giftings in your life. Remove away all of the things that you think you are excelling in. And just ask yourself this one question. How well do I love? Do I love the way the Lord loves me? Because that's the command. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. That's the command. So really, when you remove all of the things that we think we excel at, but really it boils down to, because you can think you can excel at a lot of things, and yet if you don't have love, they profit you nothing. So really the bottom line question is, how well do I love? Do I love like Jesus loved? Do I love selectively? Am I always looking for a loophole so that I don't have to love somebody the way that Jesus loves me? Because if I can find a loophole, I will withhold my love. There's a story. Jesus is talking. It's in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus is talking to some of the Pharisees, and this lawyer comes up to him. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 22. Lawyer comes up to him, and I'm not bashing lawyers, but lawyer comes up to him and says, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said, you know the commandments. You know, he said, what is the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, okay, I'm going to lay it out for you. The greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Love the Lord your God. The second is like unto this: love your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer, looking for a loophole, said, and who is my neighbor? The very question he asked proves that, you know, he didn't think of everyone equally. I got neighbors and I got folks that ain't neighbors. And understand, the word neighbor is not someone that lives in close proximity. He's talking about mankind. Mankind. Those of a like kind. They are our neighbor. Jesus said, and I love Jesus. He is so cool. Jesus just launches into the story. He said, there was a certain man. Wait a minute. You said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I just simply ask you, who's my neighbor? What do you mean there's a certain man? Jesus is going to launch into a little parable that's going to make his point and shut down any loophole that the lawyer is looking for. He says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. The very fact that he went from Jerusalem to Jericho testifies that he was a Jewish man. He lived in Jerusalem. He was a Jewish man. And Jesus said, and he fell among thieves. And they stripped him of his clothing. They beat him and they wounded him and they robbed him and they left him bleeding and dying on the side of the Jericho road. And then Jesus says, and a Levite came down that way, saw the man in his need, saw him wounded, saw him bleeding, saw that he had been attacked, that he was down, and he needed a hand up. The Levite, the ministry. The Levites were those who were in ministry. Understand what Jesus is doing. Jesus is telling this Jewish scholar who thought that the only neighbor that he had was somebody that was just like he was, another Jewish man. He says to him, Levite came down, saw the man in his need and passed by on the other side. He said, here come a priest. Down the same way, the priest saw him in his need, saw the man bleeding and dying, saw him wounded and saw him injured and decided that he didn't want to get involved. He too passes by on the other side. So understand what Jesus is doing. He's saying, you think that the other Jewish folks, just because they believe the way you believe and they live like you believe, you think they're your neighbor and you can hate everybody else. I'm going to show you something that you haven't even thought about. And then Jesus says, and a Samaritan came down the same way. Now understand that the Jews and the Samaritans disliked each other. You remember the woman at the well? Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and she looks at Jesus and says, what are you talking to me for? The Jews and the Samaritans don't have any dealings with one another. Your people hate my people. And so when Jesus says, and a Samaritan came down the same way, he said a good Samaritan came. In this Jewish man's mind, there was no such thing as a good Samaritan. They didn't like any of them. And Jesus said, this man saw the man who was wounded and bleeding and dying, and he poured in the oil and the wine, and he picked him up, bound up his wounds, set him upon his own beast, carried him back into Jerusalem while he walked, and went to the inn and said, here is the money to take care of this man, and if I come again and he owes you something more, you can put it on my bill. I will take care of it. And Jesus said to the lawyer who was looking for a loophole about who he could and couldn't love, Jesus said, who do you think was neighbor to the man that fell among thieves? And the guy had to say, well, it wasn't a Levite, that's for sure. He didn't get involved. It wasn't a priest. He didn't do anything. He said, the Samaritan. Jesus said, yeah, nailed it. Go and do likewise. So love your enemies as yourself. Boy, if there was one verse I could take out of the Bible and wouldn't get in trouble for it, that would be the one. Love your enemies as yourself. What Jesus is saying is walk, love the way I do. Walk in an attitude of love. Walk in a spirit of love. Let everything that you do be motivated by and through love, because love matters. You can do great things and have great talents, but if you do not have love, it profits nothing. And I just ask ourselves this morning, how well do we love? How well do we love? Love matters. Bow your heads, please. Bow your heads, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, Lord, I thank you. I thank you this morning for the help that you granted to me to preach. I thank you this morning, Heavenly Father, for the message that you've laid upon my heart. And now, Lord, I just ask you to speak to us on an individual level, on an individual basis, as we answer the question, how well do we love? Do we love like you love? If we are connected to the vine and we are truly one of the branches, love doesn't have to be difficult because it is placed in our heart by the Holy Spirit. It is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. It is a fruit of your Spirit within us. Help us this morning, Lord, to understand that love matters. That we can be highly gifted and highly blessed of the Lord, and we can have great talents and on and on. But help us understand, Lord, that it means nothing if it is not operated and used from a spirit of love. Lord, if we are failing you in that area this morning, I ask you to speak to our hearts. Help us to understand that love matters. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Bless the name of the Lord. Every head is bowed this morning and every eye is closed. And I just ask you to ask yourself, how well am I loving? Am I loving others in such a way that it testifies that I am his disciple? Am I loving others in such a way that it testifies of his glory and it edifies those that are around me? Am I loving the way Jesus loves? I understand this morning that love matters, and Lord, I ask you to help me love in that way. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart this morning, would you slip up your hand and say, the message was for me. I needed to hear it. Yes, 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 yes. All over the building. Lord, help us so love. Help us so love that we edify the body of Christ and that we glorify our God, our Jesus. Help us to so love that others understand that we are a disciple of Christ. Let love be our calling card. That everything else that operates in our life may be profitable. I ask it in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet all over the building this morning. Go ahead and sing.